4 weeks from now, you are going to be so sick of that song, I promise. already am, yeah. Well, if you good morning. If you weren't here last week or maybe you're a guest, we are in our second out of 6 weeks of a series called Losing My Religion. And we're going to recap last week a little bit, but we're going to spend 6 weeks in the 6 weeks in the book of Galatians. So if you have your Bibles or whatever you use, you can go to Galatians. Today is chapter 2. It's going to be one chapter a week. About losing our religion. Because guys, I know that when there are going to be a lot of people when they get to eternity, that religion will have kept them out of heaven. And right now it's keeping them from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because religion will get you nowhere. Only Jesus will get you saved, forgiven, living a great life now, and getting into heaven for all of eternity. But wait, because we're Christians. We're supposed to be religious, right? I hear that all the time as a pastor. Well, you're very religious. And if I didn't say it last week, let me say again, I'm not religious, I love Jesus. He saved me, He gave Himself for me, He saved me by grace, because I could never be good enough, do good enough, etc. Not that that means that we can just live however we want because we're Christians, not at all. But Jesus wasn't religious. The religious people hated Jesus. They crucified Him. They hated Jesus. He talked of God's grace and God's love for everybody, and he hung out with the messes, and he drank, and he hung out with prostitutes, and he was very different. Yet he spoke of God's love. He spoke of God's wanting a relationship with His people. He spoke of forgetting religion and focusing on a relationship with the Father. And if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible tells us in Thessalonians to be serious, it says, and to sober up. Meaning it's time we get serious about our faith and our relationship with Jesus and how we love and serve God and others and the church, and that we be very serious. So the book of Galatians is a group of letters that Paul wrote to churches. Churches that were full of people just like you and I. Same struggles, same stuff, human. Now, they didn't have, the technology, the world was a little different back then, but the people this letter was written to, it's written to you and I today as well. It's about us. It's saying Jesus is coming back. And if He doesn't come back soon, every person sitting here today, every person out there, every person you know, you will go into eternity. You have an eternity waiting for you, and this is very serious. So Paul appeals to us about how thankful we should be about the grace that Jesus gave you and I in saving us. And last week, we read from Galatians chapter 1, we read this. Paul said, I marvel that you're so turning away so quickly from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not the gospel at all. Because what had happened was Paul had went to the churches, he had told them about Jesus, he had helped establish the churches, and then after he left, religious people came in, they were called Judaizers, and they said, no, to be a Christian, to go to heaven, to be forgiven, you have to be a Jew, you have to be circumcised, you have to pray so many times a day, you have to eat certain things, and all these rules that have nothing to do with the fact that you and I are a bunch of messes. That God so loved that He sent Jesus down in the midst of us to die for our sins to save us. But He doesn't want us to stay that way. So don't think in any way, shape, and form, again, this series, and you'll get that from today, is okay, we're saved by grace and we're free in Jesus Christ, so live however you want. Not saying that at all. Not that we'll ever be perfect, but that's not what we're talking about. I likened it last week to this. Jesus plus nothing else is everything. That's what you need. That's what I need. I need Jesus. I need to be in love with Him. I need to surrender my heart and my life to Him. That's it. Jesus plus anything else, religion, denomination, anything else that we think has to be there with the Jesus equals nothing. Nothing. It's Jesus alone. That's why I love the Church of God. We believe that all believers, all followers of Jesus Christ are one church. That's it. Denomination, membership, all that stuff. No, that's okay. We don't have to do that. Guys, it's not what you've done or what you could do or what you would ever do. It's nothing like that that can make you right, that can save your life, that can save you from hell. It's what's been done for you by Jesus. That's it. And that's not religion at all. But you must surrender your life to Jesus. Although His grace is free, all He requires is you and I to give Him our heart, to give Him our life, to surrender to Him. Which will lead to lots of great things. It'll lead to life change. It'll lead to love. It will lead to compassion and mercy and healing and all these things. There are evidence, and there should be evidence in your life, we're going to talk about this today, of the fact that if you say you're a Christian, there'll be evidence of that in your life. Now write this down if you're taking notes. Good works are not a substitute for faith. They're the result of faith. Good works aren't a substitute for faith. They're the result of faith. So our lives will, this thing, you know, nowadays so many people call themselves Christians and none of us are perfect, but the person that says they're a Christian but their life is constant fighting and arguments and unforgiveness and broken relationships and sin and sexual sin and greed and poor decisions, that's not a person that has evidence in their life of being in love with and following Jesus. That's not that at all. Today, Galatians, really, I love Galatians chapter 2. And so, okay, this series, you know, Galatians is such a great book. And we always say on the spectrum of Christianity, of following Jesus, of the Bible revealed, you have basically two things. You have grace and truth. And the reality, what Jesus was and taught and the Bible tells us about God is that there's a nice, perfect mixture of those. So if you're, but some people, and this happens in the church, they love the truth part. Man, very legal, perfect, can't do anything, can't watch movies, can't go, you know, watch TV, don't have Facebook, everything's a sin. And then there's the other, and that's not right, there's the other side where the grace people. Well, I'm free in Christ, I'm a Christian, so I'm under grace, I can live however I want and sin, and that's not true either. But there's a good mix. Well, last week was very good for the grace people because we talked about it's not a gospel law, anything other than you're saved by grace. So if you're a truth person, you're going to probably like today a lot more. I'll warn you with that, but it's a good thing. Because guys, just like the people in those churches 2,000 years ago, you and I, we need God's word. We need to divide it. We need to be instructed and corrected and all these things, and it's wonderful. Galatians 2, 19 and 20 says this. It says, I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. And verse 20, Galatians 2:20, if you're a believer, you should be able to amen and hallelujah this verse. If you are in love with, surrender to Jesus, if you're a Christian, you read Galatians 2:20 and say, yes, amen. Feel free. There you go. I mean, well, wait till I read it. Come on, guys. Galatians 2:20 says this, and this should be our heart. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There you go. That's it. Well, I'm a pastor. No, I have been crucified with Christ. I ain't perfect yet. I'm not, but I no longer live. Jesus cannot be part of your life, an hour on Sunday, and yeah, I do believe he exists. I've been baptized. He has got to be in. If Jesus is your co-pilot, you're in trouble. He better be driving the bus. He better be in charge. My life, that's the core of surrendering and saying yes to the amazing grace that Jesus gave us. And on Valentine's Day, it's a great day to talk about love, is saying yes to Him. He gets to come in. He gets to change us. He gets to instruct us. He gets to lead us into loving and serving God and loving and serving other people. But we have a tendency to like religion. Verse 21 then goes on and says this. It says, I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Guys, if you could be good enough or believe certain things or give enough or do or come to church enough, and again, those are important, we'll talk about that, then Jesus wouldn't have to have come and died for us. If you could do any of these things to get right with a perfect God who can't even look upon sin, and we're all sinners, if you could do anything, then Jesus wouldn't have had to have come, but he did because he loves you. Why would you not want to respond to a love like that? And it's a response that we have to continually make. Good works are not a substitute for faith. They're the evidence of faith. It's you and I understanding he didn't have to. He chose to love and forgive me. He chose to come for me. I've been bought with a great price. You have to understand that. You have to have humility. You're not good enough. You never were and you never will be. Amazing grace saved you. This is just so crucial and so critical. Being crucified with Christ, that's having our faith in Jesus who by grace saved us. And there are so many people where religion, you guys, you know that, remember, Satan is just the liar. We convince ourselves of so many reasons why, and we see this in our world. I see it even among Christians, you know, that just aren't surrendered, who aren't crucified with Christ. Guys, you know, remember, we make horrible gods for our life. I was a horrible God for my life. What does that mean? It means when I was in charge. It means even as a Christian, if I try to have my say, no, I have to say, I'm crucified with Christ. God leads me. His Word leads me. His Holy Spirit leads me. You have to be in that type of relationship. And I see it in the world. There are so many deceptions going on. And one of the big ones now is, you know, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. You'll come to church if you're a Christian. Amen? You just will. So I love Jesus and there's a God and He saved me and He loves me and I don't want to come and be a part. Guys, we're an imperfect group of people who are trying to get better and we better be devoted to loving God and loving each other. The Bible tells us Jesus is coming back for the church. Jesus left the church into place. He put the church into place before He left the earth. Martin Luther has a great quote, and I love this about our faith. He says, "We are saved by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone." And that is such a lie the world is feeding. I'm going to watch a little church on TV and I'm going to... Guys, we need each other. You need relationships. You need this community. You need to be in the light. You need to hear God's Word. You need to worship. You need a place to give. To know Jesus is to be part of the church. Now, if you're shut in something, that's different. You know, if we get a blizzard, you can't come on Sunday. But guys, I love the church because I love Jesus and I understand what we're doing here. I understand who we are and what our purpose is. I understand, I like most of you. And so it's important. It's important that we have that community though. Seriously, I'm just kidding. I don't like most of you. I like some of you. No, that's bad. Edit that out. But we do need each other. And you need to find those relationships within the church. And that's not going to come from an hour here on Sunday. You need to be involved. You need to come to the women's stuff, the men's stuff, or Monday night, or Thursday night, or serve Wednesday, or come to Sunday school, or come watch the Super Bowl parties. And when we do you need that community. You need those groups. I need that. You need that. And without that, we're in trouble. We're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. I mean, there it is. And these things are always heart issues. Works, our faith. Okay, we're reading Paul's writing here. You think about the book of James. It talks a lot about our good works. I think that they agree very, very well, that us as Christians, guys, if you're really a Christian, if you've surrendered your will to Jesus, He gets to be in charge. And you know what? It says, I'm dead to myself. My wants, my desires, they try to creep in every day, every minute, but we have to put those away. We have to put that away and make more room for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to lead us. When we do that, there'll be good works and there'll be evidence of our salvation. Salvation is free, but if you've accepted it and said yes to Jesus as your Lord, there'll be evidence in your life, and you have to be honest with yourself and do it right now. What evidence is there? I'm not saying there is or isn't. I'm asking you to ask yourself that. What evidence is there? Do I love people? Do I forgive people? Do I pray for the lost? Am I selfless with my time and with my resources and in my prayers? We have to ask ourselves these things because religion will want to come in if we're not careful. Works are the evidence of our salvation. I think sometimes it's also easy to just forget our need for grace, that how much we need God's grace and what an incredible thing God did in sending His only Son and sending Jesus and the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us and dying and paying a great price for our sins. Imagine you were God and you created the universe and you created mankind, and to humble yourself and come down and die and go through what He went through, that was done out of love for you. And we must respond to that love. Religion and all these deceptions that want to keep us from that relationship with Jesus Christ, religion's a great big one of those. If I come to church a little, if I'm a decent person, I was baptized when I was a kid, I'm good. You might be, you might not be. You know, Jesus warns us, and I take this very seriously, when He talks about so many in that day will be like, Jesus, and he'll be like, who are you? Because I didn't crucify myself. He didn't get to live through me. He didn't get to lead me to loving others and helping those that are poor and hungry and in prison and desperate and need forgiveness. That I forgot that I have to forgive other people as Christ forgives me. You know you're commanded to do that? If you don't know that, you got to start reading your Bible. You are commanded to forgive others as Christ forgave you, and that is completely. That is unequivocally. You have to forgive people. I think sometimes we just take God's grace for granted. The Bible tells us not to do that. without God's grace, you guys understand, we would all be separated from God forever because He is perfect, we're rebellious, we've all sinned and fallen short, and there would be separation from God for all of eternity without the love and grace and mercy that Jesus Christ has shown you. And that separation from God for all of eternity, that's hell. And you're just like me. You are around people and you know a ton of people who that's their future if nothing changes. And that should scare you. That should motivate you. That should just break your heart in a good and in a healthy way. There's an old song, and it's been sung in church forever. We occasionally, I think, sing it here. But it's a song, and it's entitled... it's called I Surrender All. If you've been in church, you know it. I Surrender All to Jesus. You know, there's a line in that that says that His love so amazing, so divine, deserves my all. I think that writer understood grace. Love so amazing and love so divine deserves our all. Yeah, Jesus deserves that in our lives. He doesn't deserve an hour a week, guys. I preached it a couple weeks ago. If this is it, that's all I'm willing to do, you are missing it. If He died for you and loved you and saved, does He deserve, there's 168 hours in a week, He deserves one? Does He deserve a 20 if you have it? Or does He deserve that we give to Him as He commands us to? What does He deserve? He deserves our all. He deserves our all. The only response to what Jesus did is wholehearted surrender. And that means Galatians 2:20. Oh, Lord, I love You. Thank You. I give You my life. I am Yours. Continue to make me. Continue to mold me because I'm still kind of a mess. But You're in charge now. You get to be Lord. I want to know what You say about how to live my life because it's for my own good. Man, when we start ignoring the letters in red and what the Bible says, it's trouble. Sometimes now, sometimes later, but always is. Wholehearted surrender is really our only response. Are you crucified with Christ? That's the question for today. When you hear that verse, and you didn't have to say amen like all the show-offs, but you have to... this side said more amen. But it should resonate in your heart. Something in you should go, yeah, I am crucified with Christ. God Himself, He came down, He gave His life for me, He suffered for me, He went through it all so He could just give me a gift of forgiveness, of taking away my guilt and shame, of telling me how to live, of bringing me into a relationship, of promising me eternal life. That may not seem like a big deal to you now. Maybe you're young. You think you got forever. Guys, that's a pretty big deal. Death has been conquered and overcame. And one of these days, if He doesn't come back, you're going to have a funeral. You're going to be awful thankful if you've accepted and said yes to His gift of eternal life. Does Jesus live in you? Does He? Here's a question. How often do you say no to or ignore God? That's a big one to be honest about. If you're here this morning, and it's not that we don't struggle with sin, but we can't give over to sin. That's Romans 1. We'll talk about that briefly before we finish. But how often are you saying no to or ignoring God? That's a big deal. Because if I'm like, well, I'm not even reading my Bible, that's saying no. That's not having fellowship with Jesus. If I read it, but I don't do what it says, that's ignoring or saying no to Him. And for some of you here this morning, I don't care how much you read it or what you do, I can guarantee you right now, if God, you know, He's spoken through His Word and He's going to let me deliver this to you, if there's one thing He doesn't want you to do, it's be living in sin. You've got to fight against it. You're not perfect, neither am I. But if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you're living in sin, there's all kinds of scenarios there. Whether it be, we could go through drug, alcohol abuse, ignoring His Word, not tithing, not serving. You've got people you haven't forgiven. You're living together but not married. You're having relationships sexually outside of marriage. That stuff is sin. And to live in it and continue it, oh, that's not a heart that's in love with Jesus. Now, some of you, I don't know. I'm sorry. I care about you. Love will say those things. God, Hebrews 6:1 says, let's get past this basic stuff. God said it. And God is love. He loves you is why He has rules for our life. It's not mean. He loves you with a love that is perfect. Our love here on earth, we'll watch a video in a minute, is not. But His love is. And our problem is we're rebellious. We all want a Savior, but sometimes we struggle with wanting a Lord. Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, he identifies himself as a prisoner of the Lord. And then he goes on to tell us, he's telling you this morning, he says, walk worthy of the calling of which you were called. Just walk worthy. You're not perfect. You can't always love perfectly. You struggle with, with stuff in life and relationships, and for some it's addictions and it's a million different things. He gets it. He sympathizes with you because He loves you. But walk worthy. Don't just walk however you want. Walk worthy. Die to yourself and let Jesus live in you. It's no longer your life. Walk worthy. Because with salvation comes a calling. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says to live your life so that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders. And this is harder than ever to do. Because even maybe 50 years ago, there was more of still a respect for church. Nowadays, no. Nowadays, we are railed against, we are misunderstood, lies are told, etc. And I don't understand this campaign the world's running against the church. A place where we can come and find community and fellowship and worship God together and be forgiven and find out that other people are just as messed up as I am, but yet we can grow together and be forgiven and watch the Super Bowl and eat nachos. And I mean, church is wonderful. I love the church, not because I'm a pastor, but because I've been crucified with Christ. And I love y'all and hope you like me because we need each other. It's important. It's important. Live your daily life so that you will win the respect of outsiders. Sometimes we bring some of it on ourselves when our lives and we treat people and look just like the world. Well then, yeah, why? What's the importance of church? But if we will live daily, we will live crucified with Christ, our lives will be a little different. We can't consistently ignore, you can't just ignore God's Word. You can't not read it. You can't not serve, not give, not grow, not be a part of. When that happens, Jesus may not be Lord of your life. Again, the red letters are important. Guys, when I stand up here and preach sermons about, you can't just do an hour a week. If you're a Christian, you've got to come to Sunday school or prayer group or Bible study or support group or men's breakfast or serve at Awana or be part of the different Bible studies that go on. And then I preach about it and like there's like a 2% change. That's depressing to me. And I feel rejected. Guys, we're all the same. I'm just like you. I'm human. I get down, I get depressed. This week I thought of the story of the Jews when the book of Judges ended, and there was Samuel, and Samuel was going to the people and going to God and saying, I'm so frustrated because I don't understand why people aren't more on board, why they're not living right, why they're not being a part and not doing. And the people came to Samuel and said, hey, we want a king. And Samuel's like, guys, you know what? God, remember, God wants to be your king. He wants to be enough. He wants to be your everything. And the people rejected that. And so Samuel went to God. It's like, I feel like such a failure. Guys, there's times when I feel like a failure if we struggle for it. We're blessed with a great church, but we struggle for volunteers. And no matter how much I preach, attendance doesn't really change outside Sunday morning, which is great, but there's so much more. But God really had to remind me this week. He's like, Micah, when that stuff happens, this is not about you. You know what God told Samuel? He said, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. God said, they're rejecting me. Guys, when we have an altar call and nobody comes and prays, why? You're not coming and admitting that you're some horrible sinner if you come and pray. You're admitting that you need prayer. Maybe you're praying for the lost. Maybe you're responding. Maybe you want to be a leader and show other people, hey, it's good to come and have prayer. It's good to come in our group, and it's good to come and pray with my brothers and sisters or my pastor and lay something down at the altar, which is very significant biblically. Those things are important. So when I talk about, you know, to be crucified with Christ, to be in love with Him, we have to look and say, what evidence is there? What are my priorities? Here he goes again with come Monday, come Wednesday, come Thursday. Guys, I'm just like you. Well, I got kids and sports and school and stuff, and I'm busy and I'm tired and it's snowing and it's cold and I just ate and I didn't eat and I've got to make supper and go through McDonald's, and I got them all too. But we have to come. We have to understand this isn't about me. This is about you and your relationship with Jesus. That's what this is about. And at times when we come in and we hear God's Word, there's a danger if you're here this morning. Maybe you've been in church a long time. There's a danger. It's easier to ignore God's Word. And especially if you've turned off to something. You hear it, you know God's Word, you feel, that's religion. I feel good about myself. I've been to church, I've really learned in the Bible, all that. But if we're not doers of the Word as well, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Be real. Guys, you can't ignore Jesus. He demands you make a choice that He can be Lord of your life. And it's out of love, and it's free, and it's out of grace, but you have to make a choice. And if He's not Lord, that's scary. And see, the potential result of Jesus not being Lord of your life, the thought of that terrifies me because I do care. It terrifies me way more than the thought of maybe stepping on your toes a little with the message on Sunday. I'll be all right. But man, if Jesus isn't Lord of your life, that's not all right. If you're living in sin, if you're ignoring Him, if He's not living in you, if He's not your Lord and your Savior, it's a huge deal. And guys, there are so many things that are just evidence that are black and white. I'm not going to turn it into this, but I think a great example is always we look at our priorities of our time, and we always say, look at your checkbook. I look at giving as a great one. Now here we go. Don't worry. Give me 45 seconds. Giving's a great one. Is there a God? Did He make you? Does He love you? Everything you have, the Bible says, belongs to Him. He gave you the ability to have it. He blessed you with it. Here's a great example. Who here this morning, if I gave you a $100 bill and said, I want 10 back, would say no? You'd take that hundy, wouldn't you? You'd be like, sweet, 90 bucks. But as believers, we will come up with so many excuses of why we don't tithe. Well, the church wants my money. Oh, here the church wants my money and the pastor. What? God says to do it. What's wrong with us? What about forgiving people? Well, you don't understand. I don't. No, I don't. I don't. And I know it's hard. And people can do bad things. And it can be rough. But Jesus forgave you. You have to forgive them. You have to love them. You have to pray for them. You have to show kindness and compassion and mercy to others. God calls us to be generous. And we have a great, generous church. And I'm so thankful. But some... Oh, here we go. Some of you are selfish. I'm off money, so don't leave. But some of you are. And let me rephrase that. And I can be at times. Okay. But let me kind of with what I'm going there. You see what's going on here? You love the church, it's wonderful. You care about the town, you like coming, you like everybody's so friendly, that's all good. But what part are you doing? Because we do need to meet together on Sunday, but besides this hour, guys, are you giving? Are you serving? Are you praying? Are you crucifying your life with Christ and letting Him live through you? Because boy, when we'll do that as a group and as a whole, watch out, world. Because that's what we're here for. I'm probably not all of you, but I would say most of you, I don't know who are here today, are saved. Jesus is Savior and Lord of your life, you are. But then you got to realize, man, we've got a job to do because most people you know probably aren't. And that requires us being the light. That requires us being crucified to ourselves because our human nature, guys, this is probably the biggest struggle in Christianity for 2,000 years. This is our human nature. Hey, man, I'm saved, so that's on you. I want you to be saved, but you got to say yes to Jesus. I have, so I'm good. That's a struggle. That's a struggle for every one of us here. Yeah, they reject Jesus. What more can we do? I come and I give and I serve and I preach and people just say no. And that's true, they do. We don't keep trying. We try harder. We understand what's at stake. Eternity. We understand what's at stake right now. Marriage is life. Children, families, culture, community. We understand. This is heaven, hell. This is life and death. We live in a lost and dying world. People are desperately in need of Jesus. Look around. Look around. We'll update you probably next week, but we're just this close to getting things moving with our youth center. And trust me, I am doing a lot of work with stuff there, but it's important. We have a call. Our world, our culture is in trouble. Almost 90% of our kids in this community don't go to church. What are things going to look like? You as a Christian, as part of the church, have got to be crucified with Christ. And understanding that just you are so loved. Jesus has saved you. And that should transform your life every day and your joy and in your purpose and in how you live. And guys, God promises us in the end and even now most of the time, we will win. Because He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, didn't He? Amen. Did you guys know the only person who can take that authority away is you and I? Oh, that's blasphemous. What do you mean? We can't take any. No. The authority, the power of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit working in the church, the only thing that can stop that is when you and I say no to Him. When we choose not to obey Him, when we don't serve, when we don't give, and we're not a part. The only way that authority can be taken away is if you and I take it away by ignoring Jesus. That's scary. We're imperfect people, and I hope we're devoted to becoming followers of Jesus. But that requires your heart and your life to be surrendered. Guys, I believe the potential for this church, the potential for Hoopston, the potential is huge. I believe it's time for the church to grow. That means you growing and being crucified with Christ and no longer living life for you, but living your life for the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. There it is. I don't think a church our size should ever struggle for volunteers or struggle for attendance at Christ-centered events outside of Sunday morning. That should just never happen. It shouldn't. Can I ask you if you're inviting people to church? Can I ask you what you're doing Monday night or Thursday night or Wednesday night or Saturday morning or Sunday morning at 10 when we have Bible study Sunday school? Guys, if Jesus is Lord of your life and you no longer live, but He lives in you, it'll show in your priorities, it'll show on your calendar, it'll show in your checkbook, it will just show in your life. Your life will testify that Jesus is Lord. Religion will tell you, I came to church today. Yeah, buddy, so I'm good. Well, that'll be part. If you love Jesus, you're going to be in church because you love Him and you get to worship Him, and I could go on, it's wonderful, and there's cappuccino, but what does your life show? Is your faith alive, guys? Is it? Do you need to have some heart surgery? This is a great time to do that. Are you grateful to God? He doesn't expect perfection from you, but He expects to be part of your life. And Jesus tells us repeatedly, multiple times, He said it. It's in red letters. If you won't take up your cross daily and follow Me, He says, you're not worthy of Me. And the thought of not being worthy of Jesus is just, it terrifies me because I love Him. Guys, you want to know why I serve and give that 10% or even more than that, whatever, and why 90%, well, like 85% of the time when the doors are open, I'm here? Oh, 80% probably. It's not because I'm the pastor. Because I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but He lives in me and I love Him. And I want to know more about Him. And I want to be around you. And I want to pray with you and for you. And I want to worship Him. And I want to have Bible study together and grab a bowl of soup together or a donut or whatever it is. That's a heart. That's evidence that I love Jesus. And when you do it, it's evidence that you love Him. When you know what He wants the most? As I believe His Word says a couple of times, He wants your obedience. He does. He wants you to obey Him. To really love people, to forgive them, to love them, to do what His Word says. I don't do that stuff, and I'm not perfect with it. I don't do it because I'm a pastor. I do it because I love Jesus. What about you? You guys ever watch like the Dateline shows that go on? They play them all day on certain channels. Sometimes at lunch, if I'm home, I'll get to watching one, and I have to see how it goes at the end. Well, first of all, a couple things with those shows. Everybody's always guilty. I don't think I've ever seen one where they found them innocent, but that always baffles me. But it's always about the evidence, right? If your life were put on trial of being a Christian and that your life is crucified with Christ and you don't even live for you anymore, Jesus lives through you, through His Holy Spirit, through you praying with Him, through you fasting with Him, through you reading and obeying His Word. If your life were put on trial that you are a disciple of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you hear that question and think, ugh, guys, you might need to come and pray and ask the Lord to help change your heart. Because it's Valentine's Day. It's a day we talk about love, right? We have a quick video we're going to watch, and I'm going to say a few more words, and we're going to sing and close. But guys, it's Valentine's Day, and this is a day where we talk about love. I found this great video that talks about the love that the world knows, the love that you and I think that we experience or have. It is so imperfect and will so let you down, and people will disappoint you, and you name it. But guys, one loved you to death. He loved you to the point of giving His life, and He just wants your heart. Because when you surrender your heart and you crucify your life with Christ and you say yes to Him and you let Him lead your life, that is life. You are not a good God for your life. Only God is. And He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for your sins, that if you will believe in Him, you will give your life to Him and just say a simple yes to Him, you'll never die, but you'll have everlasting life. And you'll have much better life now when you follow Him. He loves you. Valentine's Day, let's watch this video about love.
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 Love
in this world, it's pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love, in my world, well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love has felt like
sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
And it never feels like I love you, no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
Oh, promise is a lot, but it doesn't deliver much.
It breaks hearts.
I've picked up the pieces of my broken heart one too many times.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
The pain, the loneliness.
The surrender.
It's exhausting.
Even when you try to do love right, love fails.
I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
You can't help me.
Why love at all?
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end the disaster.
A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saved those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God tells us about it because we wouldn't recognize it if it showed up on our own doorstep.
It's a love that takes its time.
It's profound.
It doesn't brag or badmouth.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
That you can trust.
Hoping. And you never, ever exhaust it.
That's His kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records of wrongs, and self-seeking and being unkind, He still died for us.
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me,
but because He first loved me.
Stand with me as we prepare to sing and close today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Guys, many of you have tried religion. Some of you, that's why you're here. Life's just not what you think it ought to be. Even coming to church or even trying to be a Christian, stop trying. Surrender your heart to Jesus. Say yes to Him as the Lord of your life, to following Him. Some of you today, it's repenting of living willfully, sinfully. Some of you are tired of the struggle. You can be free, but only in Jesus Christ. His love, if you've never experienced it, you have no idea what you're missing. He loves you in a perfect way. He doesn't want you to be religious. He wants you to crucify your life. He wants you to say yes to Him and let Him enter your heart, enter your life, renew your mind, change your life, heal you from the pain. He wants to do so much for you because He loves you, and anything else in this world that is standing between you and Him will disappoint you over and over and over again until you turn to Him. So as we sing this morning, if you'd like to come and pray, I'm happy to pray with you. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You'd remove anything standing in anyone's way, Lord, from the eternal decision of being real and saying yes to You, or repenting or praying for someone or just whatever it is. God, we haven't seen a lot of people up front in a while. And I'm sorry for that. Lord, would You work on our hearts now that You love us so much? A perfect love, eternal life, forgiveness, freedom from shame and guilt, freedom from our own ways of messing up our lives over and over again, when we'll put them to death and let You live in us. Amen.